Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. I hope you all had a great week. I've been dealing with some pretty rough computer issues lately. Blue screen almost daily. I wanted to say that if a Monday comes and an episode isn't released, it's because my computer likely crashed beyond repair. At that point, I will be buying another. So, just fair warning, if it seems like I forgot, I didn't. Also, I hope you all enjoyed the interview I did with Pastmaster Bailing on the Midnight Freemason. If you didn't get a chance to read it, you're missing out on a journey. The first piece I have for you this week is called Secrecy and Trust, and it was published in the Short Talk Bulletin, Volume 90, August 2012, Number 8. Secrecy and Trust by David J. Williamson. Right Worshipful Brother Williamson is Grand Chaplain Emeritus of the Grand Lodge of New York. Having served as Grand Chaplain there from 1992 to 1998, he is currently a Grand Chaplain of the United Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania and serves as Pastor of St. Paul United Church of Christ in Hermitage, Pennsylvania. He also was Grand Chaplain of the Grand Lodge of Connecticut for 4 years, during which time he wrote the Grand Chaplain's Pulpit for the Connecticut Freemason. As Grand Chaplain Emeritus, he continues to write The Grand Chaplain's Corner for the New York Empire State Mason. This article was taken from his column in the fall 2011 issue. I've been thinking about secrets lately. On the one hand, as part of our initiation, we all obligated ourselves to never reveal Masonry's secrets. In fact, until 2004, the first of the Scottish Rite degrees, the fourth degree, was the Secret Master. And it retains that name and theme in the southern jurisdiction. We post a Tyler outside the doors of our meetings to ensure that our deliberations and degree work remain confidential. But Masons aren't the only ones who have secrets. The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996 made it very difficult for family, friends, even clergymen to learn about when and why you're in the hospital or receiving medical care. New members of Congress and state legislature and town councils learn quickly that bills are really passed in executive sessions and cloakroom gatherings where compromises are reached, underlying agendas are addressed, and deals are made. Juries deliberate in secret. More and more churches have boards of elders, often handpicked by the senior pastor instead of congregational meetings. On the other hand, it seems like our society values secrecy less and less. I recently considered creating a Facebook page and was horrified to discover how much personal information people routinely post on the internet for the whole world to see. WikiLeaks has published government secrets with impunity. Jurors routinely give interviews to the press after a case is decided. Hackers steal tons of credit card and other personal data on a regular basis. Sexting, sending naked photos of yourself via email or text message, isn't limited to naive teenagers. Aging KISS guitarist Gene Simmons and his longtime girlfriend Shannon Tweed's relationship counseling sessions with a therapist are on TV, where you can watch shows like Billy the Exterminator and see who has cockroaches in their homes. And our beloved Masonic rituals have been videotaped, passed around on the internet, and even broadcast on cable television. What do we do about all this? Historians tell us that in the early years of Freemasonry, someone published an exposé which included the passwords of the first and second degrees. This was before there was a third degree. And the brethren reacted by switching the two passwords. Later, some of our brethren allegedly took the life of an alleged Cowan named William Morgan for publishing the secrets of Masonry, particularly those of the York Rite. Many Grand Lodges at one time forbade the printing of our ritual, but commercial printers stepped in and met the demand of the brothers. I own several of these 19th and early 20th century cipher rituals, shades of Orwell's 1984 popping up everywhere, as more and more people suggest that privacy is rapidly becoming an old-fashioned notion. There are upsides to this trend, to be sure. I prefer to have fewer backroom deals and more transparency in governments, corporations, charities, lodges, and grand lodges are run. A lack of secrecy exposes the real values of our elected and appointed leaders, which are often very noble, but more complicated than what they can usually fit on a campaign bumper sticker. Closely tied to that idea is the notion that a lack of secrecy promotes participation. Just think of how many of us ask questions of our doctors and participate in making our own healthcare decisions since Reader's Digest and the internet made medical information so easy to find and understand. And a lack of secrecy promotes excellence. How many worshipful masters would list business as the agenda for the next lodge meeting if they knew that the prospective petitioners would learn that that's all the lodge really did? Consider how much more you'd probably give to the Masonic Brotherhood Fund. Or put in the church offering plate if you knew that everyone else would soon learn how much you give. But if anything, the Masonic lessons of secrecy are more important than they were in years gone by. I'm not talking about passwords and grips and signs. They, like the tiler on the guard on the outer door, are symbols. They remind us that every man needs trusted brothers in whom he can confide his doubts, his struggles, and his challenges. Every one of us needs someone who can whisper good counsel in our ear. Life is more complicated than it's ever been, and to cope with this confusion, intellectual, physical, moral, and spiritual, we don't need gossips. We need true friends. As the world becomes more and more disconnected, we need each other. The Bible understands this situation. In the book of Deuteronomy, the author says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, and in Psalm 5:1, the writer says, "Teach me wisdom in my secret heart." What are they talking about? Jesus gives us a good clue in his Sermon on the Mount. "Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees it in secret will reward you." Matthew 6:5-6. We're becoming a more transparent society every day, thanks to forums like C-SPAN, Facebook, the blogosphere, and the TSA. Like the early days of the telephone and email, this transparency is providing new opportunities and new relationships and new challenges for all of us. But you and I aren't perfect, and this new transparency tends to magnify our shortcomings. So we need to draw near to God, to our families, and to our friends, and know that we have someone we can trust with our lives, our reputations, our struggles, and our dreams. Masonry calls us, now more than ever, to be that trusted brother to our fellow Masons, to our wives, to our children, and to our parents. Putting our trust in God, we can be assured that our faith is well-founded. Next, I would like to address something that is frankly hard to do. Every now and again, I get an email correspondence from someone who is of a clandestine lodge. Clandestine, as determined by my Grand Lodge, is what I mean to say. And in my obligation, well, I think you know where I'm going with this, but I just cannot respond to you in the way you may be hoping. This is not a matter of me trying to be snobbish. It's me trying to keep a podcast going without having trouble from my Grand Lodge. So, with that said, I welcome your emails, and I cherish each note I get from all of you. Just know that if I don't respond, it's likely because of this reason, and it is not my choice. A million thanks for your understanding, especially from my listeners in the UK who may be of a more feminine nature. I also wanted to say that I'm working on having a few featured guests on the show, one who wrote a paper that I love, and I want to have him read it. It just doesn't sound as good coming from me as it does from him. Also, some of you may have heard of a director named Joseph James. If you are not familiar, I'd look him up. I don't want to give too much away, because I'm hoping to have him on the show. He's a Freemason and makes films that anyone would enjoy, but I think more especially Freemasons. Now I wanted to mention Neil Armstrong. He passed away on Saturday, and there has been a lot of confusion to whether he was a brother or not. I can tell you, only after preparing material for a special segment, that he was not a Freemason. His father was, however, a very active member. Many of NASA's greats were Freemasons, but Neil Armstrong was not. But I do want to recognize Mr. Neil Armstrong because it is our duty as patriots to acknowledge our heroes. So to Neil Armstrong, I propose a toast. Farewell, and we'll see you in the next adventure. This week's famous Freemason, I just learned about. Reliable sources have accredited him to membership. So this week is Brother Phil Collins. Philip David Charles, or Phil Collins, born the 30th of January 1951, is an English singer, songwriter, drummer, pianist, and actor best known as a drummer and vocalist for British progressive rock group Genesis, and as a solo artist. Collins' professional music career began as a drummer, originally in a band called The Real Thing, with Andrea Bertarelli, who later became his first wife. Collins played drums and shared lead vocals with Brian Chatton in Flaming Youth, which recorded one album called Arc 2. In 1970, he took over drums for Genesis, which had already recorded two albums. In Genesis, Collins originally supplied backing vocals for frontman Peter Gabriel, singing lead on only two songs, for Absent Friends from 1971's Nursery Crime, and More Fool Me from Selling England by the Pound, which was released in 1973. Following Gabriel's departure in 1975, Collins became the group's lead singer. His solo career, heavily influenced by his personal life, brought both himself and Genesis commercial success. According to Atlantic Records, Collins' total worldwide sales as a solo artist as of 2000 were $150 million. Collins has won numerous music awards throughout his career, including 7 Grammy Awards, 5 Brit Awards, winning Best British Male 3 times, an Academy Award, and 2 Golden Globes for his solo work. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of Genesis in 2010. Collins is one of only 3 recording artists, along with Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, who have sold over 100 million albums worldwide, both as a solo artist and as a principal member of a band. When his work with Genesis, his work with other artists, as well as his own solo career are totaled, Collins had more top 40 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart during the 1980s than any other artist. In 2008, Collins was ranked the 22nd most successful artist on the Billboard Hot 100 Top All-Time Artists. Collins has received several honorary doctorates in recognition of his work in music and also for his personal interests. In 1987, he received an honorary doctorate of fine arts at Fairleigh Dickinson University. In 1991, he received an honorary doctorate of music at the Berklee College of Music. Then, on the 12th of May, 2012, he received an honorary doctorate of history at McMurray University in Abilene, Texas, for his research and collection of Texas Revolution artifacts and documents, which has led him to own one of the world's largest private collections of Alamo-related artifacts. His passion for the battle at the Alamo has led him to write a book, The Alamo and Beyond, A Collector's Journey, published in 2012. Collins was appointed a lieutenant of the Royal Victorian Order in 1994 in recognition of his work on behalf of the Prince's Trust. He is also a member of the Fraternal Order of Freemasonry and initiated at Soho Lodge No. 3 in London. I wanted to mention thanks for the feedback on the interview I did with Passmaster Bailing, and also for the feedback on the article I wrote called The Legend of Adam's Grave. If you missed them, check them out at the Midnight Freemasons blog to read those two and many other fantastic pieces. Links to that are on the website wcypodcast.com or type in www.midnightfreemason.blogspot.com. That's it for this week. Remember to find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Whence Came You, and if you're not a user of those things, perhaps you use Tumblr, Pinterest, Google+, Vimeo, or YouTube. We have all those available to you. In addition, feel free to check out the Whence Came You Android app, or if you're an Apple user, check out the Apple app. Both are out there and excellent ways to stream the show. That's right, stream, no more syncing, and you will get access to the papers we read via PDF and Masonic wallpapers for your mobile device through the extras. The app is $2 as a one-time charge. All proceeds go back into the show for hosting fees, which keeps the show going. Now newly available is another way to listen streaming, and it's free, Stitcher Smart Radio. You go there and you type in the promo code Whence Came You with no spaces, and they will know that you came to Stitcher Radio to hear our show, and then they donate $1 to us. It costs you nothing. In fact, they even enter you in a drawing to win $100 a cash prize. You'll have access to the show and tons of other shows. All that and more available on our website at wcypodcast.com, and feel free to email us anytime at wcypodcast@gmail.com. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.